Monday. The Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio. Another week starts. Gonna start a little bit differently today because of the events that took place last night. I hope you all had a great weekend. I had a tremendous weekend, actually. It involved a ton of basketball. Watching basketball pretty much nonstop. And actually betting basketball nonstop, too. As I know many, many, many people did this weekend. As I texted my brother Dave last night, I said to him, let me see if I can read it exactly, but people are getting so addicted to gambling right now with all that wall-to-wall basketball and the craziness of so many of these games. Can you imagine the kids that are all out there at the casinos, the 21-year-olds and whatnot, going through gambling hardcore for the first time in their life and just seeing all this action every place, and it just is nail-bitingly close down to the very end of every single game, it seems like. Yeah, sure, there were a bunch of blowouts yesterday, but the over totals were relevant. The in-game action was relevant. And I have a story I wanted to share with you here about this. I told you, all weekend long, not so with gambling. So many huge opportunities at Texas A&M at the buzzer. Oh, my. Against Houston. That those of you that had Moneyline action on Texas A&M, you know the pain there at the end. But the exhilaration of coming back from down 10. But here's my point. After all this betting at the end of the night last night, I'm totally exhausted. And I want to talk about Grand Canyon because that game was just really one of the, the sickest games I've ever seen. Athletically, the craziest basketball game I have seen in my entire life, this Grand Canyon team against Alabama, who loves to go up and down the court in the SEC. They've been scoring huge point totals all year. They run into this Grand Canyon team who, from a physicality standpoint, just really just speed and athleticism, like, it trumps them. I've never seen a team play so athletic as Grand Canyon did last night. And it kind of ripped my heart out when they lost, not for nothing, not just because I bet them, but because what I was watching, I was so impressed with the effort of these kids. And I found out some information on Grand Canyon University that I want to share with everybody. I'll probably do that in segment 3 because there's just so much stuff going on today. Segment 2, I'll do Bruins. I'll do Celtics, but college basketball has got to take the lead here, and in this story from last night. So I make a call-off bet, so Texas A&M and Houston. I got plus points with Texas A&M, right? And I say, well, I'm just going to try and call off a little bit of the action because I kind of felt like I got lucky to be back in that spot. And I make the bet, and I look at my betting total, my balance of what's in the account. Take a guess of what you think the numbers are that are left in my account after I make this bet. Like, I'm exhausted. I've got legitimately Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, hardcore gambling addiction at work. Hardcore. And I know what I'm doing, and I'm fine with it because it's tournament time, and I love to watch the basketball, and I just love to be right. I love to watch the teams and say, hey, I'm right on this one. I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is, or oh my gosh, I was so wrong. Well, I put my money where my mouth was, and I was wrong. And feel the pain. So I end up winning for the weekend, just for if anybody cares. But the point is, at the end of the night, last night, after all this, and I know I'm coming to work tomorrow, what am I going to talk about? I'm writing my notes. My betting balance on DraftKings stands at $666. Just through sheer luck. I made the call-off action. I think it was 100 to win like 55 money line on Houston. That's what it was. Because I had money line so much with Texas A&M, I put the money on Houston. And I see the balance total at 666. And we've talked about this a couple weeks ago on the show, 666. You know, a lot of people believe that has something to do with the devil. And I'm just, when I see that, I'm like, I have to talk about it on the radio. But more importantly, why is that coming to me in my life right now? Like, whoa, I'm doing all this. And the answer is, I know why it's coming to me in my life. because all weekend long I'm watching basketball and I'm just 1,000% focused on it, and I am loving it, the competitive nature of it. It will never stop for me. I could watch that every single day. I'd probably have heart attacks like on the weekly, but I love to watch it. And that Grand Canyon game, as I was watching it last night, and I had bet Grand Canyon plus points. I had Grand Canyon on the money line, and it certainly looked like they were going to cover plus the points. It certainly did, as they battled back and just would not stop. Both teams going to timeout. You got guys laying on the floor. And if you didn't watch this game, I apologize. You missed out on something special for what human beings can do when they are just 100% focused on something. This Grand Canyon team, they can't shoot worth a lick. They cannot shoot to save their lives. Their tournament lives, at least. They're out. But man, they went down swinging. And they battled back, and I think they even took the lead. It was all just such a mess for me. This guy, Tyon Grant Foster, I got to read to you some stuff about him, because this kid's history, you might not know anything about. I'm just going to do it in segment two when we come back. I'm going to write it down in the notebook here, because I like 18,000 pages of notes and not enough time to talk about all this stuff. The Pistols having a colonoscopy today. I have to do a shout out for him. I asked him, are you going to be going under for anesthesia? He's like, I don't know. I say, you should just say no. Just say, you know, just take it without. You're going to tough it out, dude. Just get the colonoscopy. You don't want anything, any pain medication. Pain don't hurt. Just like Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse, dude. Just take it. I got a colonoscopy one time in the past. Yes, I did. I don't think I really needed it, honestly. But you're 50 years old. I was 48 back then. I got put under. I didn't try to tough it out, but the Pistol, he's a tougher man than I. So God bless you today, Pistol. That's a recurring theme here, because I do have to incorporate the religion piece into this. Did you know Grand Canyon's a Christian university? I didn't know that. I had no idea. I got a clip sent to me Saturday morning, about Jaden Ivey, a post-game comment he had made. It looks like weeks ago, because it was after a win. I thought it was just here recently, the last day or two. No, it had to be weeks ago, because Detroit hasn't won in like 10 games. But the Houston Rockets have won 9 games in a row for NBA people, just so you know. Golden State Warriors might not make the play-in. They are 1 game behind, in front of the Houston Rockets right now. The Rockets, dude, have won 9 games in a row. I haven't been watching them at all. But that's just a bit of knowledge I figured I'd wrap in amongst this Grand Canyon talk and my betting disgusting. The $666, what's in my basement? I say to myself, tomorrow I got to do a prayer. I got to start the show with the prayer. We got to do something different here. And I said, I'm going to show these people listening to the radio. Thank you, everybody out there that listens to this radio show. I just want to say, number one, we're in it together, baby. Okay, I got the microphone here. I guess it's my words for now that we'll listen to, although I'm very open to listening to opening up the radio show. You know this. 603-224-1450. People want to call out there. It's the first time you're hearing this show. 603-224-1450. You can get on the airlines here, airwaves, whatever we want to call it. But I am going to say a prayer here, and I want everybody out there that's listening to understand the power of prayer is real. So if you pray this along with me, I think it's a better chance that's going to happen. I'm just going to say, God, I'm going to turn my life over to you regarding the gambling, okay? I'm going to stop gambling for today, right now. This is going to happen. And I don't know how long it's going to go for. I'm just going to stop it 100% today, turn the keys over to God, and trust that I'm going to be rewarded for doing that. I really believe it. And I think I'm going to show the listeners of this show here the power of prayer. Maybe that comes through in some sort of a reward for all of you. Like people out there, I know there was a person or two over the weekend. I saw Tennessee women. They played today at 4 o'clock today. Yeah, 500-1 is what we had mentioned them at on the show here as a possibility to win it all in the college tournament. And, yeah, I made a little play on that. And I know another person or two did out there as well. Tennessee women, they play today, this afternoon, I think 4 o'clock. They're down in the round of 32. They scored like 90-something in their first game. So let's see today if they move forward. But there's going to be a reward coming to this show. I don't know how it happens. I just have a feeling. And I'm going to trust in God, and I hope all of you do today as well. I hope something great happens to everybody who's listening to this show. Something is great happening. I will say that. You're listening to this show, and it's going to be real good. We're going to go to commercial break right now. WKXL Radio, The Sports Machine with Slim, is on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. We're coming right back to talk Celtics and Bruins. Friday night, Boston Celtics played. Saturday, the Boston Bruins played. It was tough to watch that action. I was college basketball focused all weekend long. But I have some notes and stuff I wanted to share. As I mentioned earlier, from the NBA side of things, it is pretty cool that Houston has just turned things around here in a couple years. You guys, what happened? You got rid of the overpaid, James Harden act there in Houston. And what are you going to do? Boom, you try and go young, make some draft picks, and they're hitting. And now they've won 9 in a row, and it's nice to see the young blood come in. And I would expect that Golden State's going to falter. And Houston's probably going to get that last spot in there to play for the play-in. So that would be so interesting because I picked Golden State to come out of the West, I think, a month or two ago. Pretty sad. Boston Celtics, I mean, to talk about them is, it's the same story. This is Groundhog Day. They beat the Pistons Friday night, 238. It's 119-98. Like, I barely watched any of the game because there's four games going on at college basketball at the time. What the heck? What can you do? I only got the one TV. I don't have to do multiple TVs, picture in picture and stuff. I didn't go out. I stayed home. So I just watched what games were at the end and, where the money was going to be decided. And then the Celtics, it's just like, okay, after the fact. So they beat the Pistons big time on Friday. Then we play Saturday, and they beat the Bulls 124-113. I checked in, and the score was over. The game was over. They're interviewing Al Horford. I say, ooh, Al Horford had a big night. That's nice to see the sixth man coming in. Love me some Al Horford. We didn't play three starters. I don't even know who they were. Who didn't play Saturday night? No idea. But the Celtics just keep steamrolling. They've won 9 in a row. We're up by over 10 games in the Eastern Conference. Tonight we play, interesting week here because we got a 4-game road trip going on. Tonight we play at Atlanta. Thursday, at Atlanta. So they're just setting up shop in Atlanta for a few days. I wonder what they're going to be doing down there. But that's Jaylen Brown's home turf, right? So, hey, hopefully you get some home cooking or something like that. And, stay out of trouble anyway. Just stay focused on basketball, guys, because you're unbelievable right now. The Celtics regular season team, as much as I've loved the Celtics the last 5 years, I mean, this regular season team, forget about it. This is insanity how good they are. But it's not going to matter once you get in the playoffs. And I will say Joel Embiid is tracking towards coming back for the playoffs, and the 76ers are tracking towards being in that 7-8 playoff game seed. The playoffs here because the 7-8 plays 9-10 to try and get in. And that if Philly is in that spot, or Miami is tracking right towards that spot too, 7-8. Which means that we could play Miami in the first round. And guess what? Miami beat us in the playoffs last year, and they beat us a couple years before that. So, I mean, enjoy the playoffs, the regular season run. This is immense. This is awesome, Celtics. But I'm enjoying it from afar because I don't need to be watching every single game because we're just winning by a billion. But when it comes time to cheer for our team in the playoffs, we're going to be ready to go around here. That's what I will tell you. And it goes not only for the Celtics, but for the Bruins. And as you know, I've had my frustrations with the Bruins fans online. It really is a sad state of affairs in social media. These people, quote-unquote fans, just turning code and running at the first sign of problems. This team doesn't have it, blah-bitty-blah-bitty-blah. Our record against the best teams is awesome. Did we lose the other night to the Rangers? Yes. Yes, we did. Did we lose Saturday at Philadelphia. We lost 3-2. I think they were up 1-0 or 2-1 or something. And we come back and tie it. We tied it twice. And then we give up the lead, 3-2. So, again, we're just blowing late leads or we're losing close games at the end. Here's what I would ask you people. It's a Saturday day game at Philadelphia. At Philadelphia, to start a 6-game road trip. Okay, we have the most points in the league. You're rolling out of bed. You're playing. It's like 1 o'clock puck drop on Saturday. If you're a player, are you thinking about that game right now? Or are you thinking about the game we play tomorrow night at Florida? Because we get a 6-game road trip. That was our first game at Philly. We lose. We play again tomorrow night at Florida. That's the team we want a piece of. That's the game we're focused at. This is like, for Celtics fans, this is like we're playing the Atlanta Hawks today, and then in 2 days, we're playing Denver, or we're playing Milwaukee. Like, which game are you going to be more excited about as a player? If you lose the game to Atlanta and the Celtics, like, okay, whatever. We want to beat Milwaukee. Like, that's the only thing that matters. It's the same thing with the Bruins players. Like, we're in the last stretch of games. We got 10 games left for the Bruins, okay? 7 of those games are on the road. And the at-Philly game Saturday was on the road too. So 8 of our last 11 games are on the road. As a coach, I hear these fans bashing Jim Montgomery. Do you really want your coach lining your team up to slam through the last 11 games of the season, 8 of them on the road? Like, are you going to grind your team down to make them play their hardest, best hockey for 11 games knowing 8 of them are on the road? Or are you going to say, let's play, let's try to win? I'm not saying we're not trying to win, but I am saying, hey, maybe we don't need to run ourselves through a meat grinder every single night to end the season, a regular season that doesn't matter. The playoffs are what matters. And if I'm the coach, I'm going to have my guys ready to play at Florida tomorrow night. And out of those next 10 games, we play Florida twice and we play Carolina twice. Those are two teams that are like smack dab right with us at the very top of the standings. It's the four of us. It's the Bruins, Florida, Carolina, and the Rangers. They're all within like 1 point of each other and within 1 game played of each other. I'm just saying, dude, you don't need to get all upset as a fan on a Saturday day game because the Bruins lost to Philadelphia. Let's watch the game tomorrow night. Try not to be so panicked, fans. I'm so sick of hearing these fans. Oh, we can't do this. Oh, no. It's like, listen, I watched the game Saturday night in the midst of all this college basketball. This is how I know I'm becoming a hockey fan. Saturday night on ABC, the Rangers played the Panthers. Florida played New York. And I was like, wow, those are two teams I know the Bruins are going to be having to play against. So I watched the game, right? And while I was watching, I wrote a letter to Bruins management asking that Jim Montgomery please come on the show. So I'm going to mail that to them today. And I just threw in some stuff about the show and how I'm becoming a major fan of this Bruins team this year. Really, I am a major fan of the Bruins team this year. Anyway, Florida scores with four minutes left in the game to go up 3-2. So the game's at the New York Rangers, okay? Florida Panthers score, and Florida beat the Bruins last year in 7 games and went to the Stanley Cup Finals and lost. So Florida scores at New York to go up 3-2. Well, the Rangers score a minute later to tie it up. It was with like 3 minutes and 15 seconds the Rangers scored to tie it up. And then you go into overtime, and boy, these teams are tough. I mean, Rangers guy got elbowed right in the head. This is a tough battle. These two teams are definitely good. We know that. Stays tied at 3, goes to shootout. The Rangers win the shootout 2-1. And I just sit there going, I wonder if all the Florida fans that are watching this game are like crying and whining that their team blew a lead at the end of the end of the third period. They were up 3-2. Florida was. They end up giving up the lead a minute later, 3 minutes and change left in the game. Tying goal goes to New York Rangers. Then New York Rangers win it in a shootout. Are the Florida Panthers fans all whining and crying that we have no chance to beat the Rangers? Blah, blah, blah. Right? No. No, that's not what's happening. Boston fans are spoiled. They're looking for reasons to lose. If we had never won anything around this area in the last 30 years, if we'd never won anything, as had been the case before Tom Brady got here, fans of the Bruins this year would be so rabid, sick, just vicious fans in the stadium, thinking, like, we got a chance. When we play these best teams, we are close, and more times than not, we are winning. They would look at the statistics I've given you people. When we play the top 11 teams in the league, we usually smash. And we're going to play one of them tomorrow night. And if we win, I'm just saying, dude, like, wouldn't that be enough for everybody to be like, dude, we got a real chance to win this thing this year. We just beat Florida at Florida. That's what we're talking about tomorrow night. The Bruins are coming to play tomorrow night. So let's see what happens. But Bruins fans just want to panic and say, oh, the season's over. It's like, dude, Saturday morning games, you ain't getting jacked up to play. Relax, people. But your job is going to be to give this team energy and cheer them on. And if you don't think that matters, you did not watch Grand Canyon play last night. The power of the fans in the stadium is real. It's real. And the only reason some people don't think it's real is because they don't know how to cheer in stadiums. You've heard this from me before, and it is truth. I'm going to give you some truth when we come back here. College basketball stuff and Grand Canyon talk. The Sports Machine with Slim is off and running on Monday, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire, talkradio.com. University. Oh man, it would have been so cool if they won that game. It's Bryce Drew that's their coach, right? That's the dude that hit the game winner on that crazy, like, down court pass in the tournament years ago where they threw it to another teammate and then they threw it to Drew and boom, real quick. What a design play that was. I think he won the game at the buzzer, if my memory serves correct. That's something from, like, man, that's got to be 20-something years ago now. And he's coaching over at Grand Canyon University. And as I was watching that game, saying, these dudes play so hard. I mean, if I'm the coach of Grand Canyon, I am so thrilled. And this guy, Drew, he's got to be one heck of a coach. He just has to be an amazing coach for how he got his kids to continue to battle and battle and battle. It would be such a great story if they had actually won the game. I mean, they end up losing, unfortunately, here to Alabama. I was so invested in them. And I heard one of the announcers, who the announcers were terrible all weekend. For anybody watching, it's like, how captain of the obvious do you need to be with these guys? And not for nothing, a lot of times they're even wrong. Like, remember that one game where the ball definitely went out the hand, off the hand of one guy. They stop it. They go and review. And the announcer's like, oh, no, it was the other team. I'm like, watching. I'm like, no, it's not, dude. He pushed the ball, and it went off his finger last. You could clearly see it. I don't even know which game it was. But the announcers all week were really horrible. And last night, the captain of the obvious and just really horribleness, they're critiquing. I don't even know who they were. They're not even worth the time of me knowing their names. But I am going to put them on blast here, because with Grand Canyon, these guys, oh, that was a bad shot. Oh, that was this. Oh, they should have done something smarter with Grand Canyon. Like, these guys have been running a, like, 100-meter sprint speed, like 1,800 of them in a row. Nonstop, making effort play after effort play after effort play. And then these announcers are like, oh, you know, that was not a smart play. It's just like, you guys, I would have loved to see you cats be out there trying to play against these guys. You're sitting there criticizing them. Do you have any idea how tired those players in that court are? Mentally, physically, everything. And we have to listen to these announcers critique those players. When you have this Tyon Grant Foster guy literally jumping through the ceiling over the back of a man, not touching him, and just, like, grabbing the rebound over him. I'm just telling you right now, the Celtics, if this guy, and I looked at draft projections here this morning, this Tyon Grant Foster cat, he's 24 years old, and he's had some health issues. I got to read you some of this article. from him. But if he's available when the Celtics pick, the Celtics need to take this guy. This guy, Tyon Graham-Foster, he is a potential, like, legit all-star in the NBA. I know he's not a great shooter, guys, but you can work on that and not for nothing. If you're not having to run around like your hair is on fire for 1,800-meter dashes, you might have the ability to settle in and become a better shooter. He plays the game so fast, and I want to tell you something about this guy, this Tyon Graham-Foster. He's fueled the success of the Grand Canyon's men's basketball team all season long. This is an article from the Cronkite News. He was named Western Athletic Conference Player of the Year and was a large part of the Lopes' first ever NCAA tournament win versus the St. Mary's Gales. So that's Grand Canyon's Lopes. It's an incredible turn of events considering 2 years ago he almost lost basketball forever. Keep in mind, this guy's 24 years old. In the 2021-22 season opener as a player for DePaul, Grant Foster jogged to the locker room at halftime, felt lightheaded, and collapsed as shocked teammates watched him foam at the mouth. The training staff resuscitated him before he was taken to the hospital, where his heart was shocked three times during a 10-day stay, and an implantable cardioverter defibrillator was inserted. So this guy, just so you know, had went to some sort of junior college back when he was like 19 years old. He goes to Kansas for a year where he plays a little bit, ends up transferring away from there to go to DePaul. Now that he's at DePaul, he's got this issue. In the season opener, that's 21-22. Although he never received a definitive diagnosis, a doctor told him scarring on his heart meant he could never play basketball competitively again. But back home in Kansas City, he collapsed again during a playoff pickup game. So he went home after his medical issue. Kansas City area, he's just playing who's advice. He collapses during a pickup game. Second heart surgery happens. 16 months later, he's cleared to play. Now he says, just being able to have him here. Oh, sorry, this is a teammate from Grand Canyon. Just being able to have him here and be able to witness his story, it's a blessing. Grand Canyon guard Ray Harrison said, I feel like anybody who was a fan of sports or really any type of comeback story, I feel like you're able to look at him as an individual and just appreciate what he's been through. So I take a look at that, and I go, oh, man, Grand Canyon, isn't that interesting? Grand Canyon University distinguishes itself as a Christian university by instilling a sense of vocational calling and purpose in our students, faculty, and staff. As a member of our community, you are encouraged to live out that purpose in ways that honor God and serve others. You'll find many opportunities to live out your faith alongside others. So that's what's going on at Grand Canyon University. That's a really nice story, and it's one I wish could have moved on in the tournament, pardon me, but they just can't shoot. These kids playing so hard, and there was one dude, unfortunately, just didn't have a good final 5-6 minutes on Grand Canyon. Missed a couple of balls right next to him. Missed a putback or two. Just too slow, unfortunately, but what a treasure and what a treat. I give all thanks to Grand Canyon for showing me the way last night how to get after things. And even when you're down, don't give up. Stick to the plan. Keep pushing forward. They just ran out of gas at the very end. They end up losing by 10. They don't cover. That's okay. Moving forward in the college basketball tournament, I got games documented from all over the place here in my notebook. And I think I'll walk through some of them before we come back and do segment 4. I'll do the rundown. But for people watching all weekend, how about the best commercial is definitely this Buffalo Wild Wings one, right? You have this Buffalo. It's fun. It's just fundamentals. He's talking about boxing people out. What a great time. I'd love to box out some people. You know, he just, box out, box out. And he's just hammering. The kids are watching my 5- and 7-year-old. They start laughing immediately because this guy is just throwing his rear end into people and bouncing them all over the place. And he is totally right. It is just fundamentals. He sounds like a total psychopath, this Buffalo, but he's 100% right. And unfortunately, too many of the kids playing don't know the fundamentals of boxing out. This Buffalo for Buffalo Wild Wings, he definitely does. And I know you people out there that are listening, you definitely love those commercials. They're a riot. I get a laugh each time I watch it. I look at the brackets here, where we stand. Oh, man, because we got to profile some of the upcoming games for next week. UConn's going to be playing San Diego State. That's a rematch of the finals last year, right? It's a rematch of the finals. The bracket people must have set that up on purpose. San Diego State blew out Yale yesterday. So a team that's smart, going to play hard, they're not going to beat San Diego State. San Diego State, guess what? They're smart, and they play hard, and they're stronger and more athletic than you. Certainly, how about that one kid on Yale with the long hair? I just was like, when I was watching, I was like, man, I could be out there. I could still be out there. I could guard that guy. Put me in the game. I'm pretty confident. He's not going to score that much on me as I watched. He's not that fast. There's a spot for me on that Yale team next year. I'm pretty confident of it. Look at the seeds, though. What the matchups. Baker and Dave Rennie are talking about the tournament preview. I mean, we played this Wednesday. We did the live show. And Thursday, we did the re-air. Was that it? Or the overall preview show? We said the Blue Bloods. They had a feeling, both of them, we're going to be here. And look at the seeds. In the East, we got seeds 1, 2, 3, 5. In the West, 1, 2, 4, 6. In the South, 1, 2, 4, 11. That's NC State. That's my pick to come out of there, baby. And then in the Midwest, Purdue, Gonzaga, Creighton, Tennessee. 1, 2, 3, 5. These Sweet 16 matchups are insane. It's going to be so great starting on Thursday. I mean, the longest seed is NC State. They're the 11th seed. They're playing Marquette. And this is going to be the game, if my brother Dave calls this week, that we're going to have disagreement on. I'm not going to say it's an argument, not in the negative way. It's just I'm on NC State. I'm rolling NC State right through that bracket. I say NC State's going to the Final Four. My brother Dave likes Marquette. I just think that the big guy, Abrams, is going to be able to get to where he wants to get, and he's creative enough to score against anybody. Dave thinks that the big guy from Marquette's going to be big enough to stop him, and we'll see. I like the Horn kid, the point guard for NC State. I think if times are tough, he can get you buckets. So that's a game that I think is going to be awesome. It's the 11 seed against the 2 seed. That's the biggest mismatch from a seeding standpoint. As you look forward in the brackets, then it comes what? Clemson is the number 6 seed. That's the next highest seed in the West. They're playing Arizona. I think Clemson's going to beat Arizona. I know we said this about the Pac-12 going in. I said I thought the Pac-12 was terrible. Well, if you look at who's left standing here, you got one Pac-12 team. It's Arizona. And I thought they played a pretty easy game to get where they are. Two easy games. Clemson's waiting there for him. The ACC looks pretty darn good to me. Let's talk more college basketball when we come back here. The Sports Machine with Slim is New Hampshire's next generation sports talk radio show. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. That's where you hear us on the radio. Online, you can catch us, nhtalkradio.com. Wall college basketball action. The matchups, I can't get over. So I want to review my thoughts on the games throughout the weekend. It started Thursday night. We talked about that stuff here Friday during the day. Then Friday night's action. I got written down in the notebook a variety of stuff. But first, let's go to that clip I mentioned earlier. And there's a reason why. With Jaden Ivey post-game after a win here earlier this season. Andrew, go ahead and play that, please.
First, I just want to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And to any of, the world that's hearing this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus is coming back, and we all have to repent for our sins. And we have to put our faith in Jesus. He will come back when you least expect it. And, you know, it's time to wake up if you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Andrew. There we go. Isn't that interesting? And I play that not to say, hey, you need to be talking like Jaden Ivey does. For people that don't know, he played for Purdue a couple of years ago, gets drafted. Now he's on Detroit, the Pistons. They stink out loud. They're a horrible, horrible team. But you know something? I think they're learning culture over there. And Monty Williams is a coach that, I mean, he turned around Phoenix pretty good. And now he's there in Detroit. I hope they keep him there. And I'll predict good things for Detroit next year. Just remember, write that down, book that somewhere. I'll tell you, Detroit's going to be a much better basketball team next year. And part of it is what Jaden Ivey's talking about there. I will say, when I watch him play defense, I don't see the commitment to excellence that I see out of the kids on Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon kids, they play harder on defense than they do on offense, and they play out of their mind ridiculously hard on offense. So Jaden Ivey, I would say, hey, we need to pick up our defensive skill set a little bit there and work ethic. But I love what you're talking about is believing in something higher than yourself. And I started out the show saying, hey, let's have a prayer. Going to be rewarded here, I believe. And lo and behold, what happens? Oh, price of Bitcoin's up over $1,000 in less than an hour. So, maybe that's just a small miracle. But I'm telling you, Tennessee women today, that would be one heck of a miracle if at 500-1 they advance today and get to the Sweet 16. That would be very cool. 4 o'clock. I'll be watching some of that game and talk about it tomorrow. Friday night, college basketball. Just crazy. I haven't even looked at the Celtics. I wrote that down. We got Purdue is playing Grambling. Remember Grambling? Oh, they were all over them in the first half. They made them work, man. And everybody, of course, the year before, right? Purdue had gone down to a 16 seed. So you're watching Grambling. Oh, what? Well, no. Second half, Purdue just steamrolls. Nothing you can do. Duke plays Vermont. My overwhelming thought is, man, Vermont, they hit a lot of big shots in that game, but Duke is soft. That's what I wrote down. I thought Duke was kind of lucky, actually. Vermont was probably more lucky, actually, with the outcome of their shots. Like, how are all these shots going in, dude? When they played UNH the last couple of weeks, they weren't making shots like that. What's going on? Charleston plays Alabama. It was a fun game, probably the funnest game on to watch. I mean, when the four games were going on Friday night, I was watching Purdue because I was like, is Purdue going to choke it away again? Are they going to lose to a 16 seed again against Grambling? No, didn't happen, unfortunately. But my number two was, oh, Charleston, Alabama, because they just wanted to go up and down the court. They're just running up and down the court shooting threes. Like, wow, Alabama, boy, they can definitely run and shoot the ball. And they play Carolina here. I'm going to talk about previews and matchups all week long here on the Sports Machine with Slim. But, I mean, Alabama, North Carolina, I've watched North Carolina a bunch this year now. From a defensive standpoint, they're a very good defensive team, and they compete. What I saw from Alabama last night, man, they gave energy. I don't know about their footwork, technique, and all this stuff, because Grand Canyon couldn't shoot threes. So, I mean, it's different defensively when you're playing against a team who just cannot shoot outside at all. But Alabama definitely hustled. So, North Carolina, you're probably in for a game this coming Thursday. I just like North Carolina's professionalism. Remember when they played Michigan State this weekend? Well, I should get to that now, but it was Saturday, I'm pretty sure. And, man, Michigan State was on fire. They had all the momentum. And Michigan State had everything going on. And North Carolina was able to just stem the tide. They just like, no, we're going to win. That North Carolina basketball team, they are professionals. And I know on the preview show, I predicted North Carolina is going to win it all. I'm right there. I'm not changing my mind at all. My brother Dave is on the line. I'm wondering what his thoughts are from the college basketball weekend.
Good morning, Slim. Yeah, what a tremendous amount of action. I love it. 4 days. I mean, I don't know if you mentioned, I think Dayton was down 17 points and won on a 23-2 run to win their game on Thursday. As a 17, just really... Yeah, I mean, there were games everywhere. You could look at different results. The one thing we didn't have was a buzzer beater. I'm kind of surprised. We usually have one of those in the tournament. My guess is it's coming this weekend.
Well, we had it last night, Dave, with Texas A&M. They were down by three. Well, they didn't come back and win, which is real interesting, right? When you hit that last-second shot, you like to think that team was going to go and finish off the game so the folks that had the money line would be able to cash, but no.
Right. I expect there will be a game winner at some point here this weekend. The game, the competition tightens up. A lot of chalk out there this year, kind of expected after all the upsets that we had last year. So I'm guessing that there's going to be some really, really close games this weekend, and one of them is going to end up with that buzzer beater. It's going to be a ton of fun. That's the only thing this opening weekend missed.
I was hoping it was going to be Grand Canyon. I keep talking about them on the show, Dave. They play so hard. It was so much fun to watch.
Athletic and kids that love to play defense, which you don't see. Most teams or the players, they really want to focus on their offense. And I've seen it. You know, I mean, we've seen it in playing basketball. Most people love to play offense, but there are teams that really enjoy playing defense. That's one of them. You could just see the way that they rebounded, the way they attacked defenders. They tried to close out on shots. I mean, it was fun to watch that team. Still wasn't, but man, their offensive set was terrible. They didn't really have any kind of a half-court game that they could go into, and that ends up costing them the game against a team that I honestly thought that I thought they had Alabama on the ropes. I thought they were going to win at the half.
Oh, I definitely did, but Alabama, unfortunately, was able just to collapse in the middle, so when the Grand Canyon guards were able to penetrate, they could get by their initial guy, but there were always people waiting for him because nobody had to leave the paint to guard the three. But I will say that the Bryce Drew guy, who's their coach, he has done an amazing job with that team, because even running the fast breaks, if you watched Grand Canyon get out on the fast break, their guy always, if they were on like the side of the court, he would always penetrate into the middle and draw the traffic the right way. When you're doing a fast break, you don't want to go from one side or the other on the court. You want to get into the middle if you can. And it was just a conscious decision by these guys that, I'm going to get to the middle. I'm going to get to the middle. It's where I'm most dangerous. And I was like, that's coaching, 100%. He's building something over there. I don't know where that program's going, but I'm on board.
Well, I think he's taken three teams now to the tournament. I think it was Valparaiso first, because that's, of course, where he had his game-winning shot 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And then I think it was Vanderbilt from there, and now he's over at Grand Canyon. But all three programs, I'm pretty confident he's taken to the NCAA tournament. But not a long time coaching. I mean, he's still a younger guy, but yeah, he knows what he's doing, clearly, to have success with the programs that he's gone to.
So you weren't listening at the very beginning of the show, right? You didn't hear that the Pistol is in for a colonoscopy today.
That's fun. Good times.
Yeah, well, I told him, I said, dude, are you getting anesthesia? He goes, I don't know. I said, you should just refuse it, man. Just say you just want to go all natural.
If he's listening right now, it's not nearly as pleasant as him as making it out today.
For some people, who knows? It may be a good time. Pistol, good luck to you. All good vibes out there. Dave, you did not hear at the beginning of my show today then. My gambling total last night after hardcore, ridiculous, sick action. Last night, I call off some of the bet on Houston, and I look at my balance, and the total in my account is $666. What do you think about that?
Yeah, not a good sign. You should have bet $1 somewhere immediately.
I wasn't looking at all, and then I saw it. No, you can't run away from that. You can't run away from that. So at that moment, I just was like, okay, that's enough. I'm not gambling. That's it. I had a great time. It was incredible, but it's just not what I need to be doing right now. And I took time away from my family, you know, as I'm watching the games. The kids wanted to play some stuff. I'm like, yeah, later, dude. Later. I'll get to you later.
So come back and see me tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, there's no games. Actually, though, today Tennessee women play this afternoon. So I said on the show that I just believe I'm going to stop gambling. I'm going to talk about it on the show. And I believe I'm going to be rewarded, and that our listeners are going to be rewarded too, because I believe in the power of prayer. What do you think about that on the radio airwaves?
Well, listen, there's something to be said for it. It's everywhere these days, especially from athletes. You know, but what I will say is I didn't make any wagers yesterday, and I made a couple at the beginning of the day on Saturday just to get me through the weekend. I mean, if you're betting to have, you know, something to root for, like, that's fine. If you're betting every game because you need something to watch, like, that's where you probably have an issue.
Definitely have an issue. Hardcore sickness. It's out there for everybody. Dave, how about the one of the games of the weekend definitely was that Creighton game I wrote down in my notes here against Oregon. Double overtime. Shireman, or whatever his name, makes a big shot at the end of the game. What do you think about Creighton's prospects here moving forward? They're playing Tennessee.
So listen, I like Creighton in that matchup. I'm not a fan of the SEC, so again, I didn't like Alabama. I think Alabama got a great first-round matchup against a team that went 2-for-17 from three to start the game, still put up 96 points. I mean, sometimes that's going to happen. Then they come back and they play the team in Grand Canyon that really couldn't stretch the floor at all. They couldn't make a three. So Alabama, I thought, got two nice matchups. They play North Carolina. I don't like them there. Same thing with Tennessee and Creighton. Right, so that Tennessee, there's nobody else left from the SEC. They had eight teams in. I don't like Tennessee's defense. I thought that they kind of got bailed out. St. Peter's in the first round was just an easy, easy matchup for them. You know, so now you they come it. Back and they're going to get tested. Creighton's going to stretch the floor. Cockburner is going to be big. This is what he does.
That's what he does. You got it, Dave. We got plenty of time to talk about these games. We'll be doing it all week. The Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire, talkradio.com.